So where do we go from here? There's just so much fear and emotional noise in parents and kids' heads right now. I want us to listen to a comment from Camila Henderson, one of the parents that Jen Guerra spoke with. Her daughter has the option of face-to-face learning, and their family took it.
Every time we drop her off at school, I say a prayer. My husband says a prayer. We pray throughout the day for her safety and her classmates' safety and the teachers who are making such an enormous sacrifice for our children. So absolutely, our minds are not free and clear right now.
No matter what options families are going with, there are plenty of pitfalls. We wanted to finish up by going back to one of the parents that you heard earlier in the hour. Sari Koster-Stetson teaches at a small school district in Oakland County, and she's got family concerns in this too. She's raising three kids, ages 5, 16, and she has a 21-year-old as well. Sari, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
So the district that you work for has you teaching virtually this semester. Will you tell us a little bit about what you've observed emotionally of the kids in your class?
Well, when you say that we're teaching virtually for the semester, one thing to remember is that school districts are required to reassess their learning plan every 30 days. And so there's always the chance that a district that is teaching virtually might decide to teach in some sort of a hybrid situation or teach fully face-to-face all students all days. And we actually don't know how long we're going to be teaching virtually. And so that adds a added layer of stress for both teachers and students and parents. We were discussing in our staff meeting the other day that we finally feel like we've hit a flow. We finally feel like we know what we're doing. The kids know what we're doing. We've managed to figure out this technology. And then all of a sudden we might say in 2 weeks, you're in the building. So you asked about how students are doing emotionally. One thing that teachers and parents know is that consistency is really the best thing for kids. They need to have consistent expectations. They need to know what their day is going to look like. They need to know what their expectations are going to be, both at home and in school. And anytime you have a school that is switching back and forth from virtual to in person, you're making kids start over again. So in terms of my students, they need and they crave connection. I teach middle schoolers. Anybody who has a middle schooler or has seen a middle schooler knows that essentially I have 30 puppies in my classroom that all want to talk at the same time and cuddle at the same time and need attention at the same time. And they have the attention span of puppies, so they're all going in 30 different directions at the same time. And desperately what they need is consistency, and they need connection. They need to be connected to me as a caring adult in their lives, a stable caring adult. They need to be connected to each other desperately. That is one of the primary goals of middle school, is to develop your own sense of self. And the way that middle schoolers do that developmentally is they move away from their parents and they move towards their peers, and they try on different identities and they bounce them off their peers. And that's how they start to develop who they are as individuals. And so they need their peer group for that developmental process. Most middle schoolers will tell you that their favorite subjects are lunch in the hallway, right? for them, academics are really secondary. My district in particular has a lot of students that deal with difficult home environments. There's a good amount of poverty. There's some drug and alcohol issues. We have a higher than average amount of homeless students. We have students that are living with family members, extended family members. And so for them, school is their consistent, safe place.
There are metrics for what kids are supposed to learn during a regular school year. I just wondered how that, or if that is changing for you this year. I mean, and just where you consider the goalpost to be. I mean, is this a lost year?
It's not a lost year if what we do is reframe what our goals are. So you mentioned the goalposts. So in a traditional school year, you look at standards. Michigan has standards for every single grade, every single subject, right? Specific things that kids are supposed to be able to do at the end of the year. And if that's how we want to look at this school year, then it's going to be a lost year, because kids are not going to be able to achieve those standards. But I think that if we reframe our goal, I'm still teaching to my standards because that's the expectation that my school district has. But my goal in my classroom is to meet kids' emotional needs. And I think that that needs to be a larger goal. I think that needs to be a district goal, a state goal, and even a national goal. If we take academics off the table and we all realize that just because you're supposed to learn long division in a particular school year and you don't learn it doesn't mean you're never going to learn it. And we decide that academics are not going to be our primary focus. We can then focus on the things that kids really need right now. And what kids really need right now is connection. They need to have their emotional needs taken care of. We have there are safety concerns, of course, kids staying at home in unsafe situations. So there's some safety concerns. Teachers are already social workers. So when I walk into my classroom in a normal school year, I have children that are hungry and I feed them. I have children that need clothing and we get them clothing. We have children that need places to live and we figure that out. And so teachers are very, very good at meeting the emotional needs of students. So in my classrooms, I'm giving students a lot of time to connect. So if I would normally give an assignment that takes one class period, I'm giving them closer to four or five, and I'm letting them go to breakout rooms, and I'm letting them talk about video games and anime and their pets and what they're doing over the weekend. And I'm letting them have those connections with each other, because I'll be really honest, if they come to my classroom next year, I can reteach anything that I tried to teach this year. But the one thing I can't do is I can't take a bunch of isolated, traumatized kids and teach them, because then you're dealing with trauma. So I think that what we need to do is we need to realize that just like adults talk about the fact that we're getting, that we don't have the connections with friends that we used to have. Adults talk about the fact that we're getting Zoom fatigue. We can't sit on a Zoom meeting for 8 hours a day. So we can't expect our kids to be able to do that also. We need to take away some of that stress from kids. And I think that the way we do that is we don't call this a lost year necessarily. We reframe the focus of the year.
You know, we've heard in the past half an hour a lot about feelings of failure that parents are going through right now. And I think that just a lot of people, whether or not they have kids, are dealing with. Have you been able to push back against those feelings?
Well, I can tell you that I wrote an email to my daughter's counselors asking to drop half of her classes yesterday, because she's feeling failure. We live in Ann Arbor. She's in the Ann Arbor School District. We have, I don't know, six computers in our house. She has her very own study area. We are very fortunate in terms of her access to technology, and she has a teacher, right? Downstairs, so I can sit with her and I understand what she's doing and I can help her. And she and I still feel like we're failing. So I'm 100% sure that pretty much every single parent right now feels like a failure. And if we feel like failures, then the kids feel like failures. And that's what we need to really think about. Because I was talking to my kindergarten, my son's young fives teacher. We had a parent teacher conference the other day, and she asked what my goals were. And my goal for him is I want him to feel like he is a learner. I want him to feel like he has the capability to learn. And if we put kids, no matter what age, high schoolers, middle schoolers, even my college age daughter, if we put them in situations in which they are failing through no fault of their own, then we are basically robbing them of their ability to see themselves as capable people who are able to learn in the future. What I'm doing with parents is when parents email me and they're having technology issues, they can't figure out how to add anything to Google Classroom, they don't know how to use the computer, this isn't in their skill set, I'm excusing projects, I'm taking projects late, I'm trying to get all of the barriers out of the way. And unfortunately, most of those barriers end up being academic. So if I have kids that come to my Zoom and they connect with me and I hear stories about their lives and I see pictures, you know, I see their dogs or their cats and they're connecting with other kids and I excuse them from every single project this semester, I'm going to call that a success.
Sari Koster-Stetson, coming to us from Oakland County. Sari, I know you've got so much on your plate right now. Thank you for everything you're doing, and thanks for taking a couple of minutes to talk to us.
No problem. I appreciate it. Thank you.